Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of our podcast, 1000 Years of Beer. As always, recorded here in Freising Weinstephan, at the home of the world's oldest brewery, the Bavarian State Brewery, Weinstephan. With me, as always, Anton. Hey, how are you doing?
Hello everybody. And Matthias, you said it, at Weinstephan, but not at the brewery itself exactly, is where we are today, because we're here at our logistics center. With Mark Büche, one of our two leads here at the export at the logistics center. Mark, hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm fine.
So we're here at the logistics center, at the new logistics center, which was built in 2019, or opened in 2019 officially. Built, of course, a few years before. Give us a short introduction to the logistics center. How many people are working here? What's how big is it?
Okay, we have about a ground floor of 26,500 square meter, and working here are 36 people, but it's splitted in warehouse employees, forklift driver, our beer driver, our shuttle driver, and also our employees in the office.
So this logistics center was necessary because our old logistic, let's not call it our old logistics center because it wasn't really a center. It was like a big hall, a big hall in a little office. It was back at the brewery and we were running out of space. But, well, running out of space is nicely put. We never had any space up there. So the trucks would just line up at the Weinstephan Hill and just wait. And, you know, we don't really know how we did it. We somehow managed to, get all the trucks filled with beer and everything. But this was really necessary just to get, well, all of the beer out to now 60 countries.
But also we
countries.
Need to put it here that, you know, as Weinstephan, we are very export orientated. So
yes.
Today we're doing nearly 60 countries, a volume of 400,000 hectoliters in 60 countries, and 70% of it is export.
Yeah.
So a lot of... you know, export micromanagement, let's put it that way. And so I get, without moving here to the new logistics centers, like back there on the hill with the old logistics department, we barely could made it. I'm still wondering how you guys did it the years before. But we are now much bigger. We are now more in a more strategic area. So we are very directly to the connection to the autobahn, to the highway. So very close to that and about 4 kilometers away from the brewery. And we're shuttling the beer from the brewery to the logistics center where the warehouse is, and also empty kegs and empty bottles to fill them up back on the hill. So that's what the shuttle is. How many trucks are doing this?
Normally we have two 40 tons trucks, and we deliver around about 12 times per truck.
Okay,
in normal day high season,
yeah. And two shifts then, I assume?
Yes.
Okay,
yes, two shifts.
So when you're starting here?
We are starting in the morning at 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. and normally to 6 p.m., but it depends on the season, so we go up to 8 o'clock or...
Okay, so not that early start like in the summer, early in the high season. Okay, got it. So sometimes, you know, we have done podcasts based on export, on technology, on sensor analysis. So everything about beer and beer related and non-alcoholic beers and quality management, all that stuff. But in the end, logistics is maybe it seems like not like that.
In the center of attention.
Yeah, in the center of attention. And no offense, Mark, it seems kind of boring. You know, it's like shipping. I mean, it's shipping, you know? It's like putting stuff from A to B. But actually, that's it. I mean, we have listeners all over the world, not just for the podcast. We have beer fans and drinkers of wines, different beers from all over the world. So you can actually drink our wines, different beers, from the one side of the globe to the other. So like from Anchorage in Alaska to... Auckland in New Zealand. So this is where you can drink our wheat beers. And this is where you ship them, actually, and or where you're organized to ship them. And every country has different regulations on paperwork, on organization, on whatever, like a thousand things to think about it, and that the beer comes there safely, quick, and as fresh as possible. That's basically your job. So you're like the last person in charge handling the beer before it gets to the country, right?
That's on point. That's our daily business, what we do.
But the special thing also here in Weihenstephan is, as I understand it precisely, is that you're also the first department handling with the orders to come to the brewery, right?
Yes, that's correct. We bring the empty bottles and kegs to the brewery to fill them, and that's what we do in the first step. Because before they start filling, they need the empty bottles and kegs, and so they come from the logistics center to the brewery to fill them.
But you also get in the orders, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So our importers, so we have a strategy, one country, one importer, so only to deal with one company in the end. But they're bringing in the orders, which beer, in which packaging, and which size, and which volume they need. You guys are checking it with the production planning.
Yes, correct.
And they then come back to you and say, hey, okay, the beer will be ready at that and that point. With the correct label and the packaging that's required and needed. And then you start the process with the importer and telling him, okay, there the beer is ready and whatever. So, and then paperwork, certificates.
Invoices, certificates is the most thing, yeah.
Okay. What kind of certificates are we talking about?
We have the analyst certificate and the HIS certificate. That's and the parameter is fixed from the importer what they need exactly in the certificates.
Okay, so it's different from country to country just to get a feeling for how many different things you have to manage. It's not only putting the beer in the trucks, it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, it is definitely more because we have in Germany the beer tax, we have to organize this. We have also to organize the customs documents, the regulation for the German customs and also for the custom in the importer land.
So that's a lot of paperwork that comes with the logistics here.
Yeah, a lot of paperwork and also a lot of, yeah, what I said before, like micromanagement. You know, there's like so much things to do and not just for one country, maybe just for one product in one country in one specific packaging. But maybe let's look at the United States of America, you know. There we have like 50-liter kegs Hefe, we have 03 bottles Hefe, we have 05 bottles of Hefe Weiss beer. So this is like three different, one beer, but three different products in three different packagings, yeah. And then we have the 24 bottle crate and the six packs, you know. So all this must be just in time. So you also store the cartons and everything here, right?
Yes, the cartons and also for the US market. The US market, we have a stock, so we can be very quick with new orders. Mm-hmm. So we are guaranteed, though, in three to 4 weeks, it's ready to ship.
Okay. And so then this comes out to the brewery, they fill the beer in, or they produce the beer to fill it in, then it comes back, and then the containers or the trucks must be like loaded specifically, but the way, like transport organization, then it's done by the importer, right?
Yes, from the importer is organized, and we only are responsible for the loading, for the security, and all the paperwork.
Okay. But then you don't have only not have to manage that for the Hefeweiss beer in a specific packaging because we have a few more beers, as you know. So if then there is an order coming in, so how big is the like the oh my god ish situation if there is an order coming in like with eight different beers in 12 different packages with a loading date in like 4 weeks? How is it like? Oh my God, this is going to be so much work, or is that such a routine here that it's like, yeah, okay, no problem, we're used to it.
As I said before, our daily business.
Yeah, because this was like the first thing that fascinates me about here. It's not just about the beer, because when I started getting the fascination for your job in our team is that the first time I was overseas and tasted a beer and I saw how kind of fresh it was and how it tastes, there was the two things, you know. The first thing was like, hey, brewmaster done a great job because the beer is like so stable, also in a long travel, that it's kind of overwhelming. But on the other side, you know, I looked at the code at the packaging, and then I saw, well, it was like maybe like 8 weeks ago, you know, when this beer was like made ready here in the brewery, and then I drank it in New Jersey, you know. So this was like, okay, this is kind of fascinating because it seems a little bit very quick on the one side, but on the other side, we start producing when the order is coming in, right? So we can guarantee that especially the overseas customer gets the freshest product possible because like the batches or the beer is actually made by the order, right?
That's correct, yeah. But that is the effect of modern logistics. So you're going so fast with the ships and also logistics and the imported land. That's very quick. It's just in time, what I said always. Mm-hmm. But that's the point. That is very quick and modern logistics. So it gets so fast all over the world.
So we have a normal stock here for the German market, of course, for the local market, because people want to pick up regular beer without the big forecast. They just come here and get their beer. But overseas, it's a little bit different. So also from the importer, there is also from our side a kind of demand so that they kind of forecast beer. So like that they need to say us in advance, okay, we need that much fest beer, especially as a seasonal. Yeah. So how is this working? So you're getting all the forecasts in from all over the world?
That's the biggest point for us, what makes the production planning, because the logistics is working next to the production planning. Mm-hmm. And the point is that we need a forecast. Like for the seasonal, like fest beer, we need the season the forecast before we start brewing, because mm-hmm. we need the space, we need all the materials. And so this is the forecast for these. But also we need a forecast for big customer for the complete year to calculate the complete production and mm-hmm. also the logistic place what we need.
We mentioned the production planning. So you guys work hand in hand with the production planning. And even though you get forecasts, there's always going to be events or anything that happens, like Corona crisis, for example, that it requires you to be a little more flexible. How does that work? Are we prepared to fulfill spontaneous requests, or are we have to plan in advance?
We have to plan. We have to plan in advance because the problem is that, like you said before, with Corona, it was in the next. It comes directly because, and then we are not able to react. That's the problem. What we have like a crisis like this.
So we do have a little bit in stock, like you said, Matthias, yeah. before, but that's not, we don't have enough for the whole world in store. Like if there's a major
we
event,
we keep
like
it more or less, of course, in stock in the tanks, because we know that regular wheat beer is going to be purchased or the original, but not in the packaging, you know, because in the tanks we can be more flexible, but not like when it's in a German bottle with a German label, then it's for the German market, period.
That's the point. Yes, yeah. Especially regret for the international market. For each country, you need different labeling on the carton, labeling on the bottle. That's completely different. So we can't make for each country a stock with different kind of labels. Mm. So that's not so you don't get fresh beer to the customer.
Yeah.
But with storing it in a tank, we're only talking about maturation time.
Yeah.
We're only talking about a couple of weeks. Our top fermented beers, 2 weeks? And our bottom fermented beer is about
minimum
6 weeks.
Minimum four weeks,
yeah. So that's the time span we're talking about. We're not talking about we can't keep them in the tanks for 12 weeks. Mm.
So, exactly. So we can't keep it that long in the tanks too. But there we are more flexible, you know?
Yeah.
So there we can say like, okay, but is it once in a bottle or in a packaging for a specific country?
It's fixed.
Then it's fixed, yeah. Okay. So that's the reason why we work so... you know, order orientated, so not like stocking up everything, but order comes in, lead time like 4, 5, 6 weeks, and then you can pick up your order, and then you fix then the container and you load it, and then they send a truck they organized that picks up the stuff.
Yeah, that's correct. We make get the order in, and then we make the production planning. We make a pickup date when we know the beer will be ready. And then we inform the importer that you can pick it up on the date. And so they organize the transport and reloads the truck and makes the security on the truck or in the container. And then we make the paperwork.
Same actually also with POS materials, like when people like in the US like having drinking out of our beautiful wine, Stefan Wied beer glasses. So this also comes through your department, right?
Yes, that's correct. We also make the POS orders.
Okay. So glass and beer shipping here, very important. Well, you know, you need a glass to drink your beer, you know, at least when you have it on draft.
Is the warehouse enough for us right now?
Up to now, yes.
So you already make plans for building another hall. So like the two halls we have here, or this one big hall with two sections, let's yes. put it that way. Yes. So we just calculated for the German episode, it's like 3.5 football fields, something like that. Yeah. Right. So from the size. And we can make up to 50 trucks a day. So that's more or less top more or less. Okay. So just put us very quickly through the process. So truck comes here.
Yeah, trucks comes in and come to the reception and said, okay, I have a pickup with a reference number. That's the biggest point for us to shout out to all of you. We need the order numbers. That's the biggest point, because when we have a truck and told us we have to pick up some beer, that doesn't help us. So it's one of the big things, because I come into the reception and said, okay, I have a reference number, and so we know which pickup is this truck for. And so the next step is they go on our scale and make the weight of the truck, and then we have the loading place. It depends on if it's a container or a truck. And so it was sent to the ramp or to our loading place. Then after checking, like for the container and also for the truck, we check the security of the truck and the container, if they're damaged or something like this. And then we start with the loading and for the loading security. And after the loading, the truck goes back to the reception, gets the papers back, and can leave the area.
But you weigh the trucks when you come in and get out, right?
Get in and out. We have to weigh them, because it's very strict in German. When you have an overweight, you have a penalty, and it's not cheap.
Okay, got it. So also, what I also learned in the German episode, we just recently recorded, and I wasn't aware of that, but we do have an own Google page on our logistics center. Not just on the brewery, also on the logistics center. And there, especially truck drivers, rating us. And, you know, like internet ratings and Google ratings can be a cruel world. Can be a dark place sometimes. Dude, seriously, I've seen online things or read that are like, what the heck, you know? But we're good, 4.6 stars out of 5. So
close to perfect.
Yeah, it's very something we can be very happy about it. There is something I found out or read the first time, and I wasn't aware of it. And I think that's pretty cool. So you offer here like toilets, showers, and free coffee and drinks for the drivers.
Yes, yes, that's a point for us that we want to make some very cute here to have a nice place where they can take a shower, because with the bank holiday in Germany, they stay over the weekend because they're not allowed to drive in Germany. So they have to stay here. And so it's a very nice for them to get a clean shower and a clean toilet to have a nice place here. And also they get after loading, they get a free beer from us.
So there's actually a backstory to why we have a Google entry for the logistics center, and that is when the logistics center first opened, there was an automatic entry in there, and that was placed over 100 meters, a couple hundred meters in the other direction. And we actually got a lot of complaints that the direction on Google is wrong, because a lot of the truck drivers of course use Google Maps or anything. So so we basically had to do an own entry to just, you know, make this right. And that was actually the starting point for our own Google entry for the logistics center, because, you know, you need it as a company. You usually don't need it for your logistics extra, because most of the logistics are, well, connected to the brewery or to the company.
Yeah. And that's right. Yeah.
So now there was a reason to have an own entry, and that's actually the backstory of it.
All right. Again, what learned. I just want to quote here, there are a few really nice comments on there. So it seems like the people really enjoyed it. Like Gerhard, who wrote, and I translate here from German, that very, very nice, especially the girls at the ramp. Brigitte is always very nice and has a smile on her face, even it's 5:30 a.m. in the morning. Or Money posted, like, always nice and fast. So you read that a lot, and you're very fast and very well organized. And he wrote, as a truck driver, you get here as well treated as 40 years before, which seems also pretty cool. And a few people also mentioned, so like, yeah, okay, everything worked well, but hey, we get a beer for the after work, or we could shower there. And yeah, and the other guy, I got a shower in a very clean toilet, and then I got a beer for the night. So perfect. Perfect loading.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good to see. Yeah. So there are a lot of bars and restaurants out there who would love to have such things like, oh, there's free beer and a clean toilet.
It might be good for some places to introduce stuff like that.
But yeah. Yeah. So actually, that's pretty nice and pretty cool to see. So when you look at those ratings, so what seems to that it's people say it's very intuitive, it's very logical, and it's very fast, and it's very well organized. So that it's the way it is, it because you were like part of the project planning and designing it for like from the beginning, and that you could put all your logistics special know-how to this project, and that it is implemented like that?
Yes, that was a point when we start planning this logistics center with the architect, and so we can organize and get our knowledge into it and say, okay, we want to have it like this, and the architect make it exactly what we want. And it's very nice to see now it works like we have it blended, and that's really nice to see that it's functional.
I mean, that's always nice to see when you have in theory something, and then you think, well, maybe that will work out to help us on getting it more efficient than when it actually works out. That's the best thing how it could go.
Most definitely. You also, when we talk about planning the logistics center, you also put a lot of thought into the environment, into sustainable energy. We have solar panels on the roof ready to roll. We have LED lights. We have automatic doors that aren't open all the time, so we keep a stable temperature in the hall. So that just goes to show that we've thought about all these things.
Electric forklifts,
basically. How far are we with those forklifts?
Yes, that's the point. What we are thinking about for the solar panel was for the capacity. The capacity is so big that we are able to switch complete forklift drivers from gas to electric. And also we are thinking about to use electric trucks. That's a big point for us, and also this solar panels capacity is so big that we can also charge electric trucks. That's a point for us.
Like for the local shuttling?
For the shuttle will be a plan, or also for the trucks that will bring the beer out.
Okay, yeah. So, because, you know, the space is like huge on the roof, right? I mean, this is like, if you like would say, okay, if you're like just one football field of space for solar panels, I mean, that's, and we have like here the space of three football fields. So that's kind of, a huge opportunity. And so we're really interesting how this is going.
And this all goes into our environmental statement that we publish every year. And this is something that the brewery has committed to work on, to our environmental obligation to work on this kind of stuff. And you can read it. If you're interested in that, you can read it about that on our website.
Yeah. I mean, sustainability is not just an environment topic. I think the more sustainable you're, especially something like that, like energy are. I mean, this is basically, of course, you have an investment and this is not expensive. This is expensive than the investment, and you need to change processes, and you need to implement new technology or unknown technology. So this is all challenges. But in the end, I mean, that's free energy. you know, for the natural gas or for fuel, you need to pay. Yeah. And this comes not for free, but the energy from the sun. And if you have a power storage where you can like save that, or where you can charge your forklift or your truck, it's free energy. And in the long term, then it will pays off. And then it's not an ecological thinking anymore. Then it's an ecological and even more economical thinking, you know, because then it makes sense. And then like this free energy is basically like cash, you know. So I see it from both points, and but yeah, you need to think in the long term. And I guess as the world's oldest brewery is nearly 1,000 years old, I think we have already proved that we can, or we do think in long term strategies and not just short term excitement. Even sometimes I think the experience of drinking a beer is much too short. But the good thing is you can order always a second or a third beer.
That's a good thing. I mean, and yeah, we talked about you being a major part of the planning here from the logistics center. Do you still have a wish for your logistics center?
Something that's missing, or something you wished you would have, or whatever. Maybe our CEO is listening.
Yeah. 10 more people working. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's fine. But for me, I think it's a big thing to get the step to electric trucks. That will be a big point for me that we introduce this into the company. This will be a big point, because I think it's a good way to start with the shuttle, because it's the brewery is 4 kilometers away. So it's a good strategy to use electric trucks for this.
Mm-hmm. Part. Do you think it's realistic within the next 2 years?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it is. They started now with in German with the first trucks. You can buy, but we don't want to start with them because it's very new and it's not, it's a new product. So we want to wait a little bit and then...
Until everything's figured out.
Yes. So beginning, some failure, something paint out, and then it's a big point for us.
Oh. I mean, we have seen, especially in the Corona times, how important logistics is. I mean, you know, there was shortage on containers, there was a shortage on ships bringing the goods from A to B, bringing beer to our export markets, especially our overseas customers had some time to stuff for Weihenstephan beers, because container prices went up. Like for a special, I heard once that like on the peak the container prices to the United States, for an example, like were 10 times than the average before Corona. And so there was, I guess, a big challenge on managing that too. And I guess also because when like the lockdown was over, like everyone was ordering, right?
Yes, that's correct. We were going down completely, and then they all was open, and then they started in new orders, and we were flashed.
But the Corona crisis wasn't your bad big event that you...
No, biggest event for me was the accident in the Suez Canal. That was...
Was the ship like blocking the Ever Given, or what was it?
Yeah. That was a point. It comes from one day to the next, and no one knows what happened and don't know what big issue this was.
So like all the things that came after this, like you told us in the pre-talk that this was like kind of where everyone sees how sensitive this international logistics is. Like, you know, that the outcome of this, nobody knew how fast it would come, but the outcome everyone knew was like, okay, this is going to be a really, really big problem, right?
Yeah, in the beginning, no one knows what will happen because they don't know how they get the ship away from the Suez Canal, and no one knows what will happen. And that was a big thing. No one have some point like this. There's an accident like this before, and what happened? That was the biggest.
Just goes to show how connected the world really is. Because everything went down. Like the whole sea freight just goes through the Suez Canal. Maybe not 100%, but a lot of it.
Yeah.
And
still something happens to the Panama Canal. It's the same. You know, if there's something happening, you know, then you need to go around Latin America. The other one need to go around Africa. So. And this is like increasing the time of the sea freight so immensely, and so So this was like where you're waking up in the morning, got your coffee, saw the news, and you were like, oh, fuck.
I go back to bed later.
Okay. Not just the day is done already, maybe the next month. Well, I can see that. Maybe, I guess, like we as normal people, it does not have to do anything with logistics. We like see the news, we were like laughing about it. You know, the internet was full of memes, you know, like this one construction machine, you know, it was like digging there, you know, with the big ship next to it, you know. This was like, haha, fun, yeah, okay. But I wasn't aware of that, how that impacts so much the international logistics and so much other ways.
The first time I was made aware of that was when I saw the picture on the equivalent to flight radar. There's an equivalent for boats.
Yeah.
And you saw all the boats lining up, all the ships lining up behind it. And I was like, well, this might be a problem.
And
how it turns out. I mean, pretty much every logistic worker in the world was kind of affected by that. So
that's true. Yeah. Because it's not just also getting the beer out there to the customer. It's also getting our kegs back, which is also a big issue for us. Because, and that's it, maybe the right people hear it. So please send us back the empty kegs, because we don't have endlessly kegs, and we need them. If we want to have in the next season fresh beer, we need them back. And we tried, I heard, once with one-way kegs, but it did not work out so well on quality-wise and also on the stability of the kegs for itself. Long story short, so it didn't work for us. So stainless steel kegs are still the number one package to go for draft beer. So this is, I guess, also one of the messages to put out there, right? Bring back the kegs.
Please, just in time.
Yeah, I can see that. So
so the Suez Canal was your big bad event while working here. I mean, you've been here 10 years.
Your
nightmare. You've been here 10 years, so obviously you have seen some stuff. What was the big positive moment? The one thing, if you have to pinpoint to one thing.
That is where we are. The logistics center, the planning of the logistics center was the positive issue in the business here in the brewery. Because you can plan it in a green field and organize what you need for your daily work.
So basically starting from scratch, just, you know, having this blank piece of paper and just drawing it up, of course, with architects, but just drawing it up, just started from scratch, just from day one to actually working here.
That's it. That's important.
I mean, how many times in your working life do you get the chance to, you know, build a whole logistics center?
I don't know.
Probably not again.
One time. I hope so.
I mean, it's obviously been a lot of work. We've been here a couple of times, and we still, like, Matthias and I, we work at the brewery. Our office at the brewery.
I'm the first time here. So we're sitting here like in the second level of the logistics center in the conference meeting room, and the two guys are sitting opposite of me, so they're looking at me and my...
Which is wonderful, by the way.
Which is wonderful, and my young, juvenile, smiling... super likable face. And I'm looking outside of the two windows, and on one window I see the tower of the brewery where our malt silos are, and on the other, and this actually is super cool, is the Freising Cathedral, the two towers of the St. Corbinian's Cathedral. And actually this view here right now, so I will make now a photo of Mark. Okay, you of course cannot see it,
what the
background is, because it's too lit up. Yeah, but that's the cool thing, actually, because there you can see like the two things that are so represented for Freising, the cathedral and the Weinstef and the World Sodas Brewery, and you can both see it out of one window. That's actually pretty cool. Yeah, but we can be pretty happy to have that logistics center here, because we see how vital it is. Because everything comes in here first, so the orders come in here, and then they go to the brewery, and then the beer gets extra and fresh produced by the order from our importers, and then you pack it in and ship it out. And I guess on behalf of all the Weinstefan beer drinkers and fans from Auckland to Anchorage, thank you, Mark, for doing that.
And a final question, we ask that pretty much everybody. What's your favorite beer?
Yeah, it's a sweet beer light because when I have to drive, I drink always Hefe light because it's really tasty beer. But for me at home, when I don't have to drive, I drink the New Hallis. That's my favorite.
So we have a favorite top fermented, a favorite bottom fermented. Pretty much rounds it up.
Yeah, I can live with that.
Yeah, me too. All right, thank you very much, Mark. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for telling us about the logistics center, about how everything
and
works.
And thanks for your work. I really appreciate it.
Yes.
And
thanks to have you here.
We hope for us all that there will be never again a ship be stranded in the Suez Canal.
For your mental health.
Yeah,
for your mental health.
And thanks to you guys for listening out there. And we'll hear from you next time. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.